As I mentioned last weekend, I want to spend our Sunday homilies from now until the first Sunday of Lent focusing on the Mass itself, dwelling into this great mystery, this great celebration in which we have contact with week to week, or perhaps even day to day. It's so important to our Catholic faith to understand the Mass and its complexity. And obviously, in just a few weeks, we can't be totally exhaustive in covering every small detail, but I hope to offer just some insights or refreshers, things to think about and pray about, so that when we enter into Mass week to week, we're more aware of what is occurring around us. In order to really understand and launch into the way Mass is celebrated today, we have to understand something, I think, of its history, of the culture and traditions that have gone into the present way Mass is celebrated. The way we celebrate Mass today didn't just fall out of the sky. It's come to us through almost 4,000 years, really, of continued tradition that's been developed. So we have to understand part of that history. And if we want to look at Mass, there's no better place to look than the proto-Mass, the first Mass on Holy Thursday. In the upper room with Jesus and his disciples gathered for the Passover meal, the Last Supper. We have to look at that first, because it's from that every other Mass flows. It's from the words of Jesus, "Do this in remembrance of me," that we continue to the present day to do this week to week. And so to understand that Last Supper meal is important. And we have to understand it in the context of a Passover meal. It's the Passover of the Lord, celebrated up to that point for nearly 2,000 years, in which Jews would gather once a year to recall that night in which God freed them from slavery and put them into the desert, really, to wander for 40 years. And all of Jewish history, in a sense, comes from that point forward. The Passover meal, the way it's structured itself, is important. It begins with the eating of bitter herbs and unleavened bread, to remind the Jews of their time of wandering in the desert and in slavery and captivity. And so that beginning with unleavened bread is important. If you read the accounts of the Last Supper in Mark and Matthew, Jesus offering the bread and then offering the wine occur one right after the other. If you read the accounts of Luke and of Paul, there's a large space inserted in between. And the reason for this difference is if we look at the Passover meal. Because after eating bitter herbs and unleavened bread, then there's a part of the Passover that's called the Haggadah, which is a very lengthy recounting of salvation history, in which God's miracles that he has wrought in Jewish history are told. Everything from creation to the setting free of slavery in Egypt, to the wandering in the desert, to the Ten Commandments, to the prophets, to the kings, all of it is recounted in a lengthy and often sung story. And then after that, then there's four offerings of the cup, but the primary offering is after the Haggadah, after the offering of salvation history. And then after that is a song of praise, a halal, in which thanksgiving is given to God. If we look at that Passover meal, we see the early structure of Mass. We see hearing and listening to salvation history, the liturgy of the word. And then we see the offering of the cup with the bread, the liturgy of the Eucharist. And we listen attentively to the words every Sunday, every Mass, of Jesus. Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body. And likewise with the cup. This is where Jesus takes the Passover meal and transforms it into something new. No longer is it just a remembrance, a memory of events gone by. Now he makes that saving act present every Sunday. God's miracle happens again every Sunday. And so this "do this in remembrance of me" is not just recalling history, it's making that history present and active. And that's a key understanding of what happens at Mass. The Jewish history and tradition is also deeply rooted in some of the prayers that we use. We don't often hear them on Sundays because we have offertory pieces played during the preparation of the gifts. But at daily Mass, we hear them, where when the priest takes the paten with the bread and lifts it up for the first time, the words that he speaks very quietly are the exact words that the Jews have used for thousands of years, even to the present, for the blessing of bread at meals. Blessed are you, Lord, God of all creation, for through your goodness we have received the bread we offer, fruit of the earth and work of human hands. It will become for us the bread of life. And similar, but slightly different words for the chalice. These are pulled right out of the Hebrew prayers since time immemorial. And they were undoubtedly used at the Last Supper as Jesus takes the bread, takes the cup, says the blessing, as the text of the Missal says. The blessing that he says is just that. Those are the words. Understanding the context of the Passover meal and the Last Supper leads us into the first Masses that are celebrated in the early church. And here we have to understand something of the culture. And really, it's very basic. We have to understand how houses are set up and built. They're built and constructed very differently than we have them at present. Houses are constructed with an outer courtyard, and then an inner courtyard, and then the actual inside of the house. There's really kind of three phases that you walk through if you walk into somebody's house. And our earliest accounts of Mass come to us from a Christian Roman woman named Egeria, who traveled through the Holy Land and kept a journal of Christian liturgies that she witnessed. And so her accounts of entering into the courtyard of these house Masses, first with small gatherings, where songs of praise are sung to God, then entering into the inner courtyard, where readings from Paul, or the scriptures, or salvation history are told, and then entering into the house itself for the sharing of the Eucharistic meal. Sound familiar? It's exactly how churches are constructed. With an outside gathering space, or narthex, or vestibule, and then a nave of the church, where salvation history is proclaimed, and then the sanctuary, where the offering of bread and wine is made. To understand how Mass unfolds in a church today, all we have to do is look back to how houses were constructed 2,000 years ago and how those first Masses were celebrated then. Mass develops in different ways and in rich ways through the centuries they're following. And we'll talk more about that as we move through the Mass in particular parts, week to week. But understanding that proto-Mass, Mass of the Lord's Supper on Holy Thursday, is so fundamental to understand our history and our tradition. It's a culture that's not foreign to us, but one in which we inherit for thousands of years. and which Jesus sanctifies and turns into a new covenant of his body and blood. Jesus Christ becomes present to us, not in the retelling of a story, but of making himself present, truly and really, here and now.